Here's a political problem for everyone. Energy costs, especially oil. OPEC today indicates it's going to keep pumping oil at the current rate for at least another month, so prices dropped a little to about $45 a barrel. Still, analysts worry that dwindling oil supplies and swinging prices could harm the whole economy, and soon. But there's another point of view out there, a point of view that says, in effect, oil crisis? What oil crisis? Day-to-Day's Eric Weiner reports.
When it comes to the slippery subject of oil, there are basically two types of people, oil pessimists and oil optimists. Peter Huber, author of a book called The Bottomless Well, is definitely an oil optimist. He doesn't question that we, as a nation and as a species, are using more and more oil every year and paying dearly for it. Oil prices are hovering near $50 a barrel. But that doesn't mean there's an oil crisis, he says, not by a long shot.
There are still huge amounts of oil in the Persian Gulf. I mean, it's there, and it's very cheap to get it to the surface. That's not seriously disputed.
Not only is there plenty of oil, says Huber, but we're getting much better at using it. Jet engines, for instance, are far more fuel efficient today than they were 10 or even 5 years ago. In fact, today's airliners are pound for pound as efficient as most cars. The bottom line, says Peter Huber, is that only 40% of the energy we consume comes from oil, and that number is decreasing all the time. Not so fast, says Paul Roberts, author of the book The End of Oil and something of an oil pessimist. Yes, he says, our engines are more efficient, and yes, there is plenty of oil to be tapped, but we're still at the mercy of forces beyond our control.
The price of oil is dictated by a lot of factors, politics being one of them. And, you know, there's nothing to say that tomorrow or next week we're not going to have some massive new disruption in oil production. We're not going to have civil war in Saudi Arabia. And it's these kinds of unknowns that really point the flaw in his prediction.
Wait a minute, counters Peter Huber. That's old energy thinking. New energy thinking focuses less on the dollar cost of energy and much more on the products that the energy produces.
It's ice coming out of the refrigerator. It's miles on the highway. It's MIPS in our computers.
And raw energy, he says, accounts for only a fraction of the overall cost of these products. Take an activity we normally consider a real energy waster. Driving.
If you look at the lifetime cost of your car, all in, fuel is well under 20%, in fact. The other 80% is the car itself, the capital, the engine, the things that basically go in to transforming the raw flame, which isn't much use to you, into a comfortable ride down the highway.
And if the 20th century was the age of oil, then the 21st century is shaping up to be the age of electricity. Most of today's hot industries, telecom and information technology, are driven by electricity, not oil. And the popular hybrid cars are only the beginning of what Peter Huber sees as a long-term trend. 5 to 10 years from now, he predicts, we'll all be driving around in a sort of two-ton Cuisinart powered entirely by electricity. Paul Roberts says that's all well and good, but electricity is still energy.
When people turn a light or plug in the toaster, they're imagining the electricity is either they don't think about it or they imagine it comes from, you know, hydropower or some other low-impact generating source.
The truth, says Roberts, is that most of our electricity comes from coal-fired power plants.
And coal is plentiful. We have lots of it in this country, but it's also one of the toughest to use cleanly. It's true that we can move more of our economy, you know, away from oil and toward electricity, but we will need ways to generate that electricity, and that is the $64 trillion question.
And on that score, at least, oil pessimists and oil optimists are in agreement. For Day to Day, I'm Eric Weiner.